Well, good morning, all. So, I can take this off. What fun. When Tony first sent a passage for the day, I thought, oh no, how am I going to make this turn to Bible translation? Turned out it was very easy. Because it's all about light, isn't it? That's the theme that we're going to look at through Advent now that we've arrived at the time of Advent. So for the next few weeks, looking at light and darkness, and what that means for us as believers. When I first started to think, lightness and darkness. Well, one thing that struck me since coming back to be in the UK in autumn and winter time is how very dark it is a lot of the time. Getting dark mid-afternoon, dark before you get anywhere in the morning, it's still dark. Even in between, it seems to be dark most of the time. And then 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when I went over to Tanzania, it was all light and colour and blue skies. So I thought, there it is, darkness to light. It's going from Europe to Africa. That's darkness to light. But of course, darkness and light isn't obviously about what sort of country you're in. Light is going to be wherever the children of the light are. And if there's one thing we know, it's that every country in the world has believers in the Lord Jesus in it. It has children of the light. There's going to be a mixture of darkness and light in every land that we go to. But light, of course, the idea of light, it can also feel a bit vague. What are we after when we're talking about the light? Those of you who remember the BBC Vicar of Dibley, who remembers that? There was this great joke, and the vicar, the lady vicar, is trying to get some heavy shopping out of a bag, out of the back of her car. And this gruff farmer comes past, and she says, "Oh, I wonder if you could just help me get this shopping into my house." And he says, "Oh, what will you give me for it?" And she says, "Eternal salvation." And he says, "It's a bit nebulous, isn't it?" And she says, "How about a chocolate hobnob?" "Oh, that's more like it." Sometimes, you know, the idea of being given the light or seeing the light, it feels a bit, what's that? We can't sort of get a grip on it. It's not something that we can easily picture or hold. But here, when we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about something very physical and very real, aren't we? It's something that we can print on a page. It's something that we can see and hold. And so I had the privilege of being at, 3 weeks ago now it was, at the celebration, dedication, launch of this New Testament, which is in a language called Ndali. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But the one thing that really struck me about this passage in 1 Thessalonians that Steve just read to us is that Paul brings together two ideas. He talks a lot about light, but he also talks a lot about the family, the worldwide family, of which we're all a part. He keeps talking about brothers and sisters and children and this sense of togetherness. And if there's one thing that you really feel when you move between this country and Tanzania or indeed anywhere else, between churches here and churches there, is that sense that we're all in it together, that we're really a family together. And I think they feel it very strongly when they can first get a feel of this book. They put their hand in it. Here it is. Before this was published, there was not a word of their language that had ever been written down, and certainly not a Bible in their language to read. And if we look at some of this, is that the first one? Did I do this? Okay. Just to give you a picture of what was going on with this, and I will come back to the passage in a minute, but I want to show you some pictures from what we did and try and sort of figure out what it means for us as well. So we're, how do I get the thing that lights? Is that this one? Oh yes, it is. Okay. So without even having to get up onto the stage now, we're down in the mountainy area about here. That's the northern tip of Lake Malawi. In this mountainy area here, that's where Mbeya is, where we used to live. And if I go a bit closer in, you can see that very well. But anyway, the lake is down here. There are two areas that are particularly on my heart and the heart of our ministry at the moment. One is the people who live in this red area, that's near Cusa. So I have their Bible here. See, everyone has a Bible now. And there are about a million of them. It's a big group. And then next to that, up in the mountains, very mountainy area, I'll show you some pictures in a minute, we have this area here, and Dali. And now they've got their Bible as well. And when the first missionaries went down into the area, they didn't really realize that Ndali was a different language, so that this was a different language from this. And the rulers of Tanzania for many years basically treated the Ndali people as though they were just a subgroup of the Nyakyusa people. And it's been a big thing for them over the last 20, 30 years to try to give themselves a sense of identity. They actually know we're not this people. We have a different language and a slightly different culture. That they're neighbours and they influence each other a great deal. But the language is different. And if you force the Ndali people to read this Bible, it'll just give them a sense that the Word of God is for other people. It's not for us, it's for that important tribe next door, which is much bigger than we are. But you could see the excitement that they showed when they received this was the excitement of a people who feel that they've been recognized and understood for the first time, and that they exist in God's world. And so there's this very strong sense of family. Now, this is what the area looks like. So I was, as I say, I was privileged to go back to Tanzania for a few weeks ago. I was only there for about 10 days. And from Mbeya, you have where we used to live, you have to drive down into the mountains, and it's a very mountainy area, as you can see from these sorts of pictures. Lots of gorges and high hills. You can look over towards the plains of Lake Malawi. But mostly it's forest and mountain like this. And scattered around the mountains are all these little villages, like this one, with houses dotted around the place. And I think that's a church that you can see up there. How do I get this? Oh, there we are. This is a church up here. Banana groves, they love their banana groves in between the houses. A lot of rain, the roads turned to mud very quickly and easily, so we were lucky to get out actually, because it rained a bit while we were staying there. Fortunately, we slipped around a bit on the roads, but we got out eventually. And you wouldn't want to travel there in during the height of the rain season, but we got away with it. It's not very flat. If there was any flat area, they quickly put a football pitch on it. Mostly they learn to play football uphill, I think. But missionaries have been there a long time. The first German missionaries arrived in about 1890, well over 100 years since the first German missionaries arrived, even in this remote area. And they built well. This hospital that they built is still going. We were able to stay just next door to it. So that's an original missionary building built in the 1890s. I think it's still going strong now. So a couple of queasy photos now. So the night before a big celebration, the main thing you have to do is hack up a cow. Make sure you can feed everybody. So that was us hacking the cow up the evening before. And then for those of you who want to be put off your Sunday dinner. These are the ladies cooking for us, getting everything ready. And This is the local fair. I don't know if anybody can figure out what any of it is. I was struggling. Bits of banana and bits of cow, isn't it? Mostly, yeah. Yes, indescribable bits of cow, I think, is the main ingredient here. So that tends to be the local fair for a bigger celebration event. That's when things are going well. So, so we were able to arrive there and engage in this great celebration with them. Because some local choirs arrived, and we were do a sort of procession into the church. And church service lasted about 5 hours. Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? So how long have we got left today? Church service lasted about 5 hours, a bit of a marathon. But the longer the better for them. the longer it lasts, the more it shows that they're enjoying it and they're happy to be there. This was the arrival of the local bishop, and this chap is the chairman of the church of the denomination in the diocese, and this is the bishop here. I'll talk a bit more about him in just a moment. So for them to arrive again is a big thing locally, to get the bishops and the other big cheeses of the area to come and join in the celebration was a great success. So I've got a few photos of the service, people dancing around, celebrations, plenty of dancing, plenty of noise, plenty of colour, congregation all joining in. So this went on for 5 hours, you understand. So this is the bishop giving his talk, and I just wanted to mention him briefly because when I first started working with this project, which was about 7 years ago now, he was one of the translators on it. And I worked with him a lot, so he himself translated some of the books. And I worked very closely with him on those translations. And then after about 4 years ago, he was elected to become the bishop of his language area for the biggest denomination there. And that's what he is now. So he's a wonderful person to have, partly because he did a lot of the translation himself. He really understands it and understands the importance of it. And now he's the bishop, making the big calls and the big decisions. So we're very happy to have him, and he was the big guest of honour when he arrived. People were very happy. So that was him. I had to give a speech. Rachel insists that I put at least one in to prove that I was there. There we are. Even I gave a speech. And a number of other people. So you've got the lady on the left is becoming a great friend of ours. She's the district commissioner, so she's like head of the local government. And she was able to come, which was wonderful. And there's another bishop, a different denomination. This chap was wonderful. He was loud and enjoyed himself a great deal. But he was someone who grew up in the village, in this area, one of these villages, but had gone and become a very successful businessman in the capital city, made a lot of money, I think. And now he was coming back to join in and to help out. And he's during the service. He said he wanted to buy the land for a new and build a new building for the ministry to be based out of for them. And so he's getting very involved. So we were very pleased to have people like that. They love to come back to their areas of origin and help out in these sorts of ways. So there are the Bibles all stacked up and ready to go. Over there, in their boxes. They're not doing much good in their boxes. So the service of dedication is only really stage two, if you like. Stage one is translating the Bible. That takes us 10 years. Stage two is the celebration. That takes 5 hours. Stage three is getting it out. That's going to take a few years too. And it's just as important and significant and meaningful as everything that went before. So when we look at it as a ministry, it's really important we look at it in that holistic way, not just as getting the words onto the page, but getting the books out of the boxes into the hands of the people scattered around the language area. And that's just saying goodbye at the end. As we travelled home, as usual, laden with all sorts of things that we hadn't expected. The gentleman you see here is one of the other main translators for the Ndali language. I've known him for many years, he's continuing to work with us, and will be a key part of how we go forward with the ministry in the next few years. So please keep him in your prayers as we do that. I want to just mention very briefly also about what the plans are for ourselves as a family, how we fit into all this. As many of you know, we had to come back to the UK during the COVID pandemic, well, when it started, back in March. But I've continued to work closely with our colleagues back in Tanzania. For now, we're going to have to stay in this country, even post-COVID. The main reason for that is nothing to do with COVID, actually. It's to do with work permits in Tanzania. The government has changed a lot in the last few years, and a lot of expats living in the country have had more and more difficulty in getting work permits and residency permits to be allowed to stay there. A whole variety of reasons for that I won't bother you with. But our organisation has been hit by that. We're not the only one. Lots of other organisations and missions have as well. And quite a number of other missionaries, other expat workers doing Bible translation have had to leave because their work permits have been denied. And that's the situation we find ourselves in at the moment. My current work permit will expire in January. And I've been told I'm not allowed another one. It's possible that after a couple of years, they'll change their minds and start giving us work permits again. That's what we pray for, not just for us as a family, but also for all the other missionary families that are having to leave. So for now, for this season of life, we're going to have to move back here. Not entirely a country of darkness, but anyway, move back here. Lovely place, lovely people. And what I would really... what we really feel led to do as far as we possibly can is to continue the work with our colleagues there. There are still many languages we're trying to translate the New Testament into. I'm currently working with about five or six of them in different sort of levels in different ways. And as I'll perhaps explain a little bit more in a minute, we want to carry on with, of course, with the Ndali and Nyakusa ministries as well. To a great extent these days, the internet helps us to do that. There's a lot I can do over the internet these days, which is a wonderful blessing. But also to travel out there two or three, four times a year for a couple of weeks at a time in order to do face-to-face work with people. Rachel, too, would potentially like the opportunity to be able to go back and do some training in the hospital where she was working and help continue to develop the clinics that she had set up. Set up in the hospital there. So that's the way we would love to work going forward. We're extremely grateful, of course, for all the partnership between ourselves and yourselves over the last few years, all the prayers and all the funds that have come through that have enabled all this work. And we would really pray that that continues, albeit in a different way. So what we'll be doing, at least for now, is the funds that come in from donations, we will be using directly for this ministry work, not for our own lives, but directly for the ministry, that is for travel and other costs like that, and for giving directly to the projects that we work with. And particularly that is for the Nyakusa and Ndali projects. So these are these two Bibles that I was holding up. These are the two that we've finished in the last 2 years. There are about 1 million people in this language group, about 300,000 in that language group. There are 20,000 of these Bibles and about 10,000 of these Bibles waiting to be distributed. So what the people out there really need is support in a whole variety of ways, training, prayer, assistance and funds to enable them to do that. And what they're doing, both of these language groups, is setting up their own organisation to oversee this. They're setting up their own Bible translation organisations, both of them. And in the context of that organisation, they hope to employ a small number of staff who would be able full-time to go around teaching, distributing the books, teaching the pastors how to use them well in the church, carrying out Bible studies and discipleship in the local language with people, and a whole variety of other tasks like that. To do that, they need things like motorbikes to be able to get around from one village to the next. They need funds for teachers, even just Sunday school teachers who can be trained and can go out and carry out a lot of this work. They want funds for renting shop fronts in the bigger areas so that they can just sell and distribute the books they've got. And what we're hoping to do over the next few years, together with all our supporters, is to really move that ministry forward. And we can do so in a direct way because we have this very, very direct contact with the people there, and really see these Bibles get out into the communities. So that's in a nutshell where we are. Maybe at some point in the next few years that the Lord opens a way that we can move back out there and be closely connected with them. Even while we were at that, was it this place where the old hospital is that I showed you, even as soon as we arrived, they were asking, when can we come, and when can we come and live there? And fine, we'll put Rachel in this hospital. Masses of work for her to do there. So the head of the hospital was already onto his... already sorting it all out for us. Yes, you'll live over there, and Rachel will work here. And so there are many opportunities. Well, the opportunities are everywhere, of course. And it's very easy once you're there to settle down and get involved directly in the ministry. The challenge will be getting work permits, which at the moment is not possible, and schooling and other things like that. But perhaps in the next few years, the Lord will open up opportunities of that sort. I wanted just to finish off to come back to the last few verses in our passage. How are we doing for time? We're doing well. Actually, I'll tell you what the first thing I wanted to do. I wanted to read a verse of this to you, just to give you an idea. We've been reading 1 Thessalonians 5. So I'm going to read to you out of the Indali Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5, and just one verse. That is verse 5. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, which in the NIV reads, "You're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night nor to the darkness." So in Indali, that sounds like this. You got it? We'll repeat. We don't understand a word of it. But I take that to that church in Isoko where we were. And everybody's up on their feet because they've gotten it completely. And they've heard it in their tongue for the first time. And that's what makes us all one family, right? We're reading the same words in a different language, but the meaning is the same. And the God is the same. And the faith is the same. And the Bible is the same. And that's what makes us and their brothers and sisters. And I think that's why at the end of the passage, you know, Paul reminds us of this togetherness in verses 10 and 11. He says he died for us as the foundation. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, by which he means whether we are living or dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So the foundation is in the cross, and that leads to this family. We live together with him. Everybody who is a child of the light, everybody who has faith in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, do what? Work together. Encourage one another and build one another up. I take that as meaning words and deeds. Encourage one another and build one another up. Even in times of pandemic, we're in a worldwide family. And just as in fact you are doing, so we continue to do it. To encourage one another within this wonderful congregation that we've got here, among our fellow believers throughout the world. We encourage one another and we build one another up. And have these relationships that enriches our whole life and our whole faith. So I think we're going to go into a time of prayer in just a minute, and we've got lots of things to pray for among our own community and in our own society, but together with that, let's not forget our worldwide fellowship, Please pray for the Nyakusa people and the Ndali people. Please pray for those Bibles to get out of their boxes and into the homes of people where they can be read and shared. Please pray for many of those people that you saw in the pictures, especially the bishop. He has a really tough task. It's pretty tough being a bishop out there. I've seen some of the things that go on. So please pray for him, because his heart is absolutely in it, but there are a lot of challenges. Please pray for government people. You saw that lady there on the picture, who was the government leader. Many of the government people are pulled in different directions, and they really want to help, and they've got many different pressures on them. Please pray for the translators and these new organisations that they've set up to develop the work of Bible translations and to spread the word of God around their area. Please pray for those organisations as they set them up, as they institute them and establish them, and that they would be successful ways for the establishing of the kingdom of God and spreading of the word of God in those areas, so that there can be light wherever there was darkness. Let's pray first together. A holy and loving God, we thank you above all for the coming of the light. We thank you for the coming of your Son, that he died for us, that he made it possible for us to be here at all, that by making us your children, we have become children of light. Father, we praise you and glorify you for this grace, for this blessing, for the love that you've shown. And we just pray that deep inside each of our hearts, we would know that light. They would shine upon us, that we would feel the closeness of your Spirit, that we feel the closeness of your worldwide family. All those people all around the world who share in the same family, who share our faith in you, and who are children of the light as we are. We pray you bless each one of us and our families, and us as a congregation. Father, shine your light upon us, bring your Holy Spirit among us. Encourage us by your word and bring us to your eternal life. Amen.